At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is Adam Carriker on the Ticket.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here's your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, in to Adam Carriker on the Ticket. It's a glorious Friday lunch hour, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Now, got a lot of stuff to talk about. All right, Matt Rhule. I saw a place where he's listed as one of the top 25 coaches in all of college football. It's interesting because when I talk to non-Nebraska folks about this, they immediately point to, oh, he's just over 500 in college, 52 and 50. He has a losing record versus ranked teams. He was 11 and 27 in the NFL. When I talk to Nebraska folks about it, you hear about the jumps from year one to year two in Temple and Baylor. All right, you hear about Temple winning their first ever conference championship under Coach Rhule. Okay, something they did in 2016. They also played for the AAC Conference Championship in 2015. This was a god-awful football program before he got there. And yes, they had 2 wins in year one, jumped mightily year two to 6 wins. Then they had 2 straight years of 10 wins, playing for a conference title, winning a conference title, goes to Baylor, wins 1 game in year one, then wins 7 games in year two, 11 games in year three. So you hear about the program builder that he is. And now that he's at a place like Nebraska, with all due respect to Temple, okay? And I'm a college football, I don't want to say guru because that doesn't sound right, but I'm a guy who loves college football. You can go back to 96 when I was 12 years old. You can quiz me on just about anything, and the odds are I'm going to know the answer way more often than not. I don't always know the answer, but I feel good. I feel confident that the odds are in my favor. I can't tell you what conference Temple is currently in, probably still the AAC, but I have not looked in a while because outside of Matt Rhule, it's not a program that I follow a ton because they've fallen off since Matt Rhule. You look at Baylor, 11 wins, okay, played for a conference championship, almost beat a top 10 Oklahoma team, went into overtime, played a top 5 Georgia team in the Sugar Bowl that year, his last year at Baylor. So depending on who you talk to, the facts that are pointed out tend to vary. It depends on the narrative that you want to push. Now, for me, obviously, I grew up a Nebraska fan. My dad is the whole reason I got into Nebraska football. Born in the same hospital I was. I incorrectly said that a few years on the show. I said that he was born in a hospital in Giltner. And I was born in Hastings. He promptly called me after the show a couple years ago, said, no, we were both born in Hastings. In fact, Adam, we were both born in the same hospital in Hastings. But he did grow up on a small family farm in Giltner, Nebraska. And the biggest Husker fan to this day I've ever met, he's the reason I'm a Husker fan. He's the reason I grew up wanting to play for Nebraska, which turned into me playing for Nebraska and talking about Nebraska. For Lord knows, I mean, going on year 11 now. A decade I've been covering this team. That's crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm only 40. I could do this for 30 more years if I wanted to. potentially, possibly, if people are still interested in what I have to say. And that's probably below 50-50, but that's a topic for another day. My point is simply this. I clearly have a certain amount of bias, but I try to be as unbiased as I can be. And I'm not afraid to go out on a limb. There are people that I've said, hey, you got to do a better job down at that football program in years past. And then knowing I'm going to see them like the next day, and they walk by me, give me dirty looks. Hey, if you don't like what I got to say, it ain't personal, folks. It ain't personal. I don't have time for it to be personal. I don't have time for drama. I'm busy. Okay. With all due respect, I got six kids, all in multiple sports, running a business here on the ticket, doing public speaking, and people for some reason want to fly me all around to do that, and I appreciate it, but I'm busy. I don't have time for drama. But I'm willing to say whatever my truth is, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'll have proof, facts, and evidence to back it up. Passion, with respect. I'll never make it personal. But it's interesting because I will go out on a limb, and I will be honest, and I will say things that I know people may or may not like, and some people understand that. Some people give me dirty looks as they're walking by because apparently they don't have the huevos to just talk to me. Okay? I'm a big guy, but I usually don't bite. It's okay. So here's my point. When I look at Matt Rhule, I'm going to give my, as much as I possibly can, unbiased opinion. And I've honestly, it has not changed since the day we hired him. My opinion of him has not changed. In this list, he's ranked as the 25th best coach in America out of 130 plus FBS coaches. Now, just for perspective, right in front of him, according to this ESPN list, is Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. Then you got Jonathan Smith at Michigan State. Obviously, Luke Fickell took Cincinnati to the playoff. Now he's at Wisconsin year two. Jonathan Smith resurrected a dead Oregon State football program. He's a proud alumni. Okay, as a player, the last time they were good was 2000. They went 11-1, finished number 5 in the country. Thumped Notre Dame. They beat Oregon that year too, with Joey Harrington. Top 10 matchup. Thumped Notre Dame, 41-9. Right, a top 10 ranked Irish team in the Fiesta Bowl. He was the quarterback, Ken Simonton, running back, Ocho Cinco, wide receiver, TJ Houshmandzadeh, with the glorious hair flowing out the back as the two wide receivers, and they were good. They've stunk since then until he got there, and he built them up into a nine-win program. Now he's at Michigan State. Willie Fritz at Houston, number 22. Matt Campbell at Iowa State. That's a coach who was red hot a couple of years ago. Name was out there for the Nebraska job, okay? A couple of years ago, obviously, we got Matt Rhule. Has cooled off a little bit lately, but Iowa State has the most amount of returning production of any team in the entire country at 86%. So I'm curious to see what Coach Campbell and Iowa State can do at number 20. Steve Sarkisian at Texas, a tumultuous coaching career. Most people believe he's an offensive genius, done a great job at Texas. Had a little bit of interesting history before that, but I'm glad to see him on the come up. Mark Stoops at Kentucky. I don't think most people knew they played football outside of basketball until he got there. He's done a great job at Kentucky. Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. They don't believe in scoring points, but that's because they don't give up any. They have great field position because they have great special teams and they don't beat themselves. You know they won 10 games last year while averaging 15 points a game. Are you freaking kidding me? That is the most impressive thing I've ever heard of in my life. And by the way, of all the teams who've ever won 10 games in the history of college football, they scored by far the least amount of points of any 10-win program in college football history in a single season. Chris Klieman won 2 national titles in North Dakota State, number 17 on this list, now the head coach at Kansas State and frankly doing a phenomenal job. Dave Doran at NC State, they're consistently 8, 9, 10 wins year after year, and some people think they could be a sleeper in the ACC this year. He's at number 16. Number 15, Jeff Brohm, Louisville, took Purdue to the Big Ten championship game his last year at Purdue, had Louisville in the ACC title game last year. Okay? Not many people love the transfer portal more than Jeff Brohm outside of Coach Prime, and Jeff Brohm loves the transfer portal, but he's turned it into success rather quickly at Louisville. Number 14 is Lance Leipold, another basketball blue blood that is now like pretty good at football. And some people have them as their dark horse contender to make the Big 12 championship game this year. Lance is a guy that my dad used to send my high school film to, trying to get me recruited at Nebraska because he was the film guy. Lance doing a great job. Mack Brown at North Carolina. All right, the last time Texas won a national title, 05, it was under Mr. Brown. And I loved watching him on ESPN, but he's doing good things in North Carolina. They had a great start last year. Drake May, number three overall pick in the draft, their quarterback. And then they had a rough ending to the season. But he's the last time North Carolina was really, really good, by the way, was 1997 when they finished number four in the country under Mac Brown. And I mean really, really good, not just like pretty good. Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. Again, another guy who's had kind of a tumultuous Tennessee, USC tenure a little bit, goes to Ole Miss. You want to talk about a guy who has made the transfer portal his best friend, and they have nearly 20 returning starters as well at Ole Miss.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Ole Miss. That's a top five team in my book. By the way, going to get to my top five teams after I get done going down this list and giving my thoughts on Matt Rhule and if he's a top 25 coach, in my opinion. Brian Kelly at LSU did a great job at Notre Dame. Maybe not the best cultural fit under God's hot sun there at LSU down in the bayou, but the man can coach football. They can score points. Will they play any defense this year at LSU? We'll see. That matchup versus USC, the two highest scoring offenses and the worst defenses in the entire country, all power five programs, five conferences a year ago was LSU, USC. I'm curious if either one of them going to play defense this year. My gut tells me LSU is at least going to play some defense. Lincoln Riley at USC, speak of the devil. His team score points. I'll tell you what, are they going to tackle? Don't know. Can't wait to watch that week one matchup, USC, LSU. But Lincoln Riley breaks the top 10, according to this list, best coaches in America. James Franklin, Penn State, a man just wins 9-10 games every year. Admittedly, right now, people see him as Michigan and Ohio State's little brother. But had we had a 12-team playoff the past 8 years in college football, Penn State would have made it six times. He comes in at number nine, Coach Franklin, Mike Gundy. They have their entire offense returning. The best running back in the entire country. Ollie Anderson at running back. Watch out for Oklahoma State in the Big 12. Mike Gundy's done a really good job at a place that will never be seen as equal footing to Oklahoma. Yet, he's done a really good job there in Stillwater. Mike Norvell. I mean, I know they went undefeated last year. They got snubbed in the playoff. Man's doing a great job. I like to see more of it over time. Consistency is the hardest thing to do in sports. Number seven seems high, but hey, if FSU wins the ACC title and they're a top four seed with a bye in the 12-team playoff, who the heck am I? Dan Lanning at Oregon. This is a guy that could have gone to Alabama. He turned down Alabama. He turned down a bunch of jobs because he believes what he has built and what he can do there in Oregon. Of course, that Nike money just down the road of Portland ain't going to hurt. He believes he can win championships there, comes in at number six. Kalen DeBoer. All he does is win. Everywhere he goes is win. You want to talk about a program that hadn't been really, really good in quite a while was the Washington Huskies. Shared a national title in 91 with Miami. I do believe Washington would have won that game had they played, but that's neither here nor there. 2000 was the last time they won a conference championship. Marcus Tuiasosopo, they beat Purdue. Big Ten champ, Pac-10 champ, back when that happened in the Rose Bowl in the year 2000 by 10 points, 34-24 in that matchup. Great game, but it'd been really since then, since Washington was on that upper echelon. Now, they've had some good teams and up and down years, but competing for a national title, being in that conversation, Washington finished third in the country that year. And they actually beat Miami, who was almost in the national title game. Only had one loss. That's really the last time. And he took Washington to a national championship game last year. Dabo Swinney, man, maybe the most polarizing coach in all of college football. This man will stick to what he believes. He will stick to he's got the courage of his convictions. He has snubbed the transfer portal like nobody's business. Like, I want to see Clemson and Colorado play just to see the two ends of the transfer portal play out on one field. That would just be so intriguing to me. Coach Prime, I don't want high school kids. You got Dabo Swinney, I don't believe in the transfer portal. Let's play it out on the field. Let's see what happens. But Dabo Swinney at number four, by the way, 2-1 record versus Nick Saban in the national championship game, 2-2 in college football playoff games against Nick Saban, two national titles to his young coaching credit career to his credit already, easy for me to say. I know some people will think this is too high. I don't. I am curious to see how the non-transfer portal approach plays out over time for Dabo, rooting for him. Kyle Whittingham, the most underrated coach in America. Utah has been nothing but consistently good the last 20 years. I think when most people think of Utah being at the upper echelon, 2005 undefeated Alex Smith spanked Pittsburgh in the Fiesta Bowl that year, because Pittsburgh's a football power, but they were the Big East champs back when that conference existed. 35-7, they really should have had a chance at the national title that year. Utah was that good, but that was Urban Meyer. People kind of forget. Whittingham has been there since. By the way, a couple years later, they spanked a number, I think it was number four, actually, Alabama, Nick Saban team in the Sugar Bowl by 2 touchdowns. People forget about that. Whittingham, I love him this high on this list. He's so underrated. By the way, I got Utah winning the Big 12 this year. Ryan Day, Ohio State, number two. This is controversial. A lot of people think he was born on third base after taking over for Urban Meyer. Hasn't won a Big Ten title. Hasn't beat Michigan. Played in the national title game, oddly enough, 2 years ago. Almost beat Georgia. To me, great coach. But a little high for me, in my opinion. Kirby Smart, number one. Yeah, no shocker there. 2 national titles. Okay. And a man who's pretty much built up the best program in all of college football right now. So it's hard to argue with Kirby Smart, but you come back to Matt Rhule. And we started this show a little bit late, so I assume the first commercial can come a little bit late. So I'm going to talk about Matt Rhule, give my almost unbiased thoughts on him, because I can only be so unbiased, but I do my best. I just throw my truth out there, let the chips fall where they may. Before he got hired, or the day he got hired, here's what I said about Matt Rhule. I said he's a program builder. I said he's going to come to Nebraska, he's going to have a brand, all due respect to Temple and Baylor, a brand that he's never had, which should help him in recruiting, which should actually accelerate the process of him building back up Nebraska. The cupboard is not as bare here as people think. And that's what I said at the time. It's definitely not as bare as Baylor or Temple was. Baylor was about as down in the dumps as you could get after everything that program went through at the time. It was so rough that Matt Rhule actually called his dad, who's a high school football coach, to come help him at Baylor, and they actually shared his office at one point during his tenure. Yet he succeeded in building back up a program that is not known for football in Temple, a program that was about as down as a program can be in Baylor, built him back up. Then you come to Nebraska. Oh, you can't win in Nebraska. It's too cold, yada, yada. Well, really, for 40-plus years, never won less than 40 games. So take that, spin it however you want, and shove it up your unbiased place. My point is this. He has said it feels like a year three and not a year two. I'm not surprised by that going into year two at Nebraska. He's a program builder. He's a guy who's shown he can play for, compete for conference championships, win them like he did at Temple, almost beat a much higher-ranked team, Oklahoma team, okay, in the Big 12 championship game, his last year there at Baylor. He has shown he can do that. What has not been shown is a winning formula consistently over time versus top-ranked teams. What has not been shown is a consistent winning percentage. Again, his career's record in college is 52-50. I don't care about the NFL record. I mean, Nick Saban was awful in the NFL. Look what he did in college. Urban Meyer didn't even make it through a whole season in the NFL. Jacksonville, look at what he did in college. Don't care about the NFL record. Doesn't equate, doesn't matter. Two completely different games. Two completely different types of players you're coaching. Like I've said since day one, he's a good coach. I believe he belongs in the top 25. Now he's got a he hasn't had a winning season yet at Nebraska because he's only had one so far, obviously 5-7. My question is he a great coach? But he's never stayed anywhere long enough. He built up Temple, basically got a promotion to Baylor, built up Baylor, got a promotion to the NFL. Now he comes to Nebraska. He's never stayed anywhere long enough to show anybody what he can do over time against the upper echelon teams. And part of the reason his records are so bad, his early records at schools are so bad, it's because it's kind of like you got to tear it down to build it back up. So then you start out 1-11 at Baylor, and you might finish, what was his last record, his last year, 11-3, something like that? Well, that's a 500 record, even though you built that team up into a top 10 team. But then you're gone. So you never really have a chance. And I'm not saying had he stayed, he would have continued the success. I don't know. He's never had a chance to prove it. I've said since day one, he's a good coach. To be in the top 25, you don't have to be great. You just have to be good. My question is he great? We don't know. He's never stayed anywhere long enough to prove that he could sustain it over time. Consistency. I've said consistency is the hardest thing in sports. from a player to a coach to a GM to whatever. He's never stayed anywhere long enough. He's a good coach. I have no problem with him at number 25. I would not put him higher. I would not put him lower. Honestly, I think it's a perfect spot because we don't know if he's great. Win some games this year, build Nebraska into a 6-7-8 win team this season, and then keep building them up and do it over time. He's looked me in the eye and said he doesn't want to coach anywhere ever. This is his final landing spot. He's told me that. So if he's here for 10 years and he wins 9-plus games, maybe starting in year 3, every year after that, that's a great coach. He's a good coach. Time will only tell if he's great. I have no problem with him at number 25. I can't wait to see what he does in year 2 here at Nebraska. I have predicted the Huskers to win 8 games. Haven't been to a bowl game since 2016. That'd be a pretty awesome season. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
We had the mic cut out there for a minute with Adam Carriker, but we'll take a quick break. He was just about to take a break anyway, and we'll be back here on 93.7 The Ticket.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.